a few of the most important statements which we hope to confer or transmit or make you aware of. The first is really that statement from Srila Prabhupada's purport in the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam, where he says that the blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for such advancement. In our spiritual life, we really should look for the blessings, because it is blessings which can carry us back to Godhead, not our own endeavors. This was really the nucleus of it. And I would like to give a Shastric Praman, another Shastric Praman, for this statement, because I feel once we have really understood and imbibed this, my seminar would be a success. I would feel that the week which we spent together was worthwhile, because you learned something new, a new perspective in your spiritual life. The Shastric Praman which I would like to offer to you is from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where we hear of the instructions of a great soul called Sri Swarup to a Brahmana disciple called Janar Sharma. She, Swarup, who before reaching his spiritual perfection was called Gopakumar, had received Jana Sharma in a forest near Keshigat. Jana Sharma was chanting the Gopal Gayatri Mantra, but he didn't have a full understanding of what he was chanting and the whole background of the mantra. He met Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva advised him he should go to Vrindavan, and there his further spiritual instruction would take place. So Jana Sharma did so, and quite, let me say, by surprise, to his own surprise, he arrived in this forest near Keshigat, and there he heard sobbing, crying. There was a great emotional upheaval in someone, and he was interested and felt drawn to come, to go deeper into this forest. And leaning against a tree, he actually saw the most wonderful personality he had ever seen. It was Swarup. It's very difficult to describe a personal associate of Lord Krishna. There is an emanation of light from him, but there's much, much more. A feeling of sweetness overwhelms anyone who sees such a personal association. Sweetness and love which he has never felt before. And Jana Sharma saw this person and immediately made his obeisances. And Sri Swarup then introduced himself. He said he had been sent by Srimati Radharani to help Jana Sharma advance further. Sri Swarup was that morning going to Lord Krishna, and in the middle of his walk, or before he could reach Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani told him that today he should not go to join Krishna's pastime. He should go into the material world and preach to this conditioned soul, Jana Sharma. So then Gop Kumar saw this Jana Sharma. Gop Kumar, or Swarup is his name, it. He decided to preach to him by telling his own story. Usually in spiritual circles, it is considered to be not good to talk about oneself. I did this and I realized that. But Gop Kumar figured that he should tell his story, because then Jana Sharma, who was not yet very spiritually developed, would really have a chance to develop a maximum amount of faith. Do you know in our Shastra an example where a great soul talks about his own story to his disciple? Narada Muni, yes, who talks to Shri Vyasadeva about his life, how he met the four Bhaktivedantas, the four great souls, and once with their permission took some food remnants, and his whole story or his whole development he told him, because it goes very deep if we hear the example of the sadhus. In fact, we have many pramans in the scriptures that it's necessary for the sadhaka to hear the stories, or let me say the development stories, stories of advancement of great souls. Therefore, we like to hear about Haridas Thakur when we want to increase our determination for chanting. We like to hear about Prahlad Maharaj because it helps us to take shelter even in difficult moments at the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, Swarup told his own story. He made an exception to the rule. And as it came to the very end of his story, he looked at his disciple and he could see that the necessary emotions, spiritual emotions to understand Krishna, were not yet in his heart. His disciple looked at him, clearly moved by the story, but he could not yet find in his heart what is called the bhakti rasa, the feelings of bhakti which you need, which need to be there in order to have a relationship with Lord Krishna, a practical interaction. And then Swarup did one thing. He blessed Jana Sharma. He blessed him, and the way he did it here, he touched his head. But the idea is not a Shakti part, but it's the idea is a blessing was done. And by that blessing, Jana Sharma could wake up to his Krishna consciousness, and a little later only, he heard together with Swarup the flute play of Lord Krishna. And they ran towards the play of the flute of Lord Krishna, and they saw the whole Krishna Leela before their very eyes. Hare Krishna. They saw actually how the Lord was going with the cows to the river Jamuna and directed the cows with very specific words like hey hey, to direct them in the right direction. And they engaged in kirtan, and then Lord Krishna personally was inspired to bless Jana Sharma, and he gave Jana Sharma decorations from his own body and made him in this way in turn associate. Now, who of you is able to respectfully take Shri B and let him escape to freedom? He really is desperate, and we can hear his song. Maybe a glass we can have, and please do it very respectfully. it may be a Vrindavan bee who has come and he deserves freedom. Mm. So Srila Sanatana Goswami writes his longest purport in the whole of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Maybe there is one other purport which is equally as long, but it might well be that this is the longest. It has an uncountable amount of pages, it's so long. This is really amazing. Gopeshwari, you know every single detail of living in this world. And be okay. And I know it's after breakfast, and if I would read it, all of you would lie on the floor, snoring, at the end of the reading, and giving pleasures to the film-looking DVD-looking audience, showing the intense eagerness of the students of Bhaktivedanta College to learn new things. So we will not read the whole purport to you because we want that the integrity of the college as eager students remains intact. But what we will do is we read some of it, and I request you, we will go now with the camera to all of you. Please don't fall asleep. It will be on the camera. Be very attentive. Sanatana Goswami says, Mahat Sangama Mahatmyam Evaitat Paramat Bhutam Kritato Yena Viproso Sadyo Bhutat Svarupavat. Such are the most amazing glories of contact with a great saint. By that contact, this Brahmana suddenly achieved perfection, realizing his eternal identity. So, Sanatana Goswami says, usually only the Lord's most qualified devotees attain pure love of God. But only after long endeavor for the Lord's special mercy. How then could this Brahmana have achieved prema so quickly? And then he gives the answer. Only by coming into contact with a powerful saint, the Brahmana's own efforts alone would have been of no avail. His success was possible by the unique glories of Vaishnava association, incomprehensible to material minds. And then he quotes a verse where Sri Devahuti remarks something. She had association with Kapila Dev, and Devahuti remarks, Sangoya sangsritya hetu asatsu vihito diya saeva sadusho kritto nisangatvaya kalpate. Association to gratify the senses is certainly the path of bondage. Huh? If you associate with sense gratifiers, but the same type of association performed with a saintly person leads to the path of liberation, even if performed without knowledge.
Yes. I'm always thinking like this in terms of our tourist program. The tourists come and have association with the devotees, even unconsciously. Now, I remember I just passed with my dhoti near this group of tourists. They were all and pointing at me as if they were in a zoo and pointing at a lion which came out of the bushes, you know. I happily greeted them. Said, it's all right, it's a very, this is how you wear it, yes. He says, when an ignorant person mixes with other degraded persons, the result is entanglement in material existence, in the enjoyment of food, drink, sex, and so on. But the company of pure souls, even if entered into with the same ignorance, enables one to become nishanga, free in two ways. One is detached from matter and uplifted to pure love of God. Mm-hmm. And then Sanatana Goswami quotes a scripture. It's called the Yoga Vashishta Ramayana. In all circumstances, one should approach saintly persons, even if one receives no teachings. Spontaneous dialogue with them imparts valuable lessons. When one approaches persons who have real knowledge, emptiness overflows with fullness, death becomes immortal nectar, and disasters can seem like good fortune. This is when you have association blessed with devotees Kiyo. If your heart is empty, it will overflow with fullness. If you're lying on your deathbed, dying, death becomes immortal nectar. And if you have some disasters in your life, like a failed examination, it can look like good fortune in the association of devotees. You feel, oh, wow, I'm safe from the network of academia. You know, I have now another alternative. I can go this way. I wanted to give you this shloka. This is all possible because in the association of devotees, there are bound to happen some powerful blessings. Yes. The text, these are some side texts. The text continues, the Brahmana was submerged like Sarupa in an ocean of the tastes of pure exalted love. And his whole body, just like Sarupa, was filled with many symptoms of that love. He cried out to Krishna, the foremost of youth, Ha Krishna, Krishneti, Kishora Shekaram. O Krishna, Krishna, please show yourself. And he became so enlivened. Listen to this Vaishnava. He placed a blade of grass between his teeth, bowed down and with plaintive cries, asked of Sarupa and of all moving and non-moving living beings, where is Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? I want to conclude also with a personal realization, which happened a little while ago. I will not tell you a pastime with Srila Prabhupada because this pastime will show even with something which I feel I want to make you conscious of. It was many years ago when I went on a pilgrimage through the Himalayan mountains. And I I went to Gangotri. Yes, I was thinking. Now, as you go to Gangotri, you always have Mother Ganga on your right side. You go basically on the bank of Mother Ganga. However, sometimes she flows very deep. Very, very deep, and sometimes it's almost the same height. So, I had a little Krishna conscious adventure. I visited a yogi in his cave and talked for a long time with him, so that I was terribly late. In Himalayas, you have to know, you should do your walking before 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because around 4 o'clock, the storms start, and they come blowing from the upper portions of the Himalayas down into the valleys. And they, when you have a difficult path to walk, they can sometimes blow people off the path. They're very, very strong. So I knew this from many, many journeys in the Himalayas, but the discussion with the yogi was just so interesting for me. He was previously a businessman who had done business in London, and I just wanted to know, how do you become a yogi? You know, how do you make this decision to just leave everything and go into the cave in the Himalayas? It was very interesting to me. And we discussed and discussed and discussed, and anyways, I was too late. So then I needed to continue my journey, and I came to the main path again to continue to travel. And then they came, the storms. And my path was really here, and the abyss was, it went down. Or even if I think now after breakfast of it, I better don't look that way. It was really going down like anything. Yadunanda, even if I look in your direction, I don't know if I can continue this lecture. It was really deep and steep. And then there was the way of the storm. So I went on all my four. So I have more hold. Then I decided I would take a little rest behind a big rock which had fallen on the path, which kept protected me from the attack of the storm. And I sat there and I wanted to chant a few rounds. And all of a sudden I looked, you know, I'm sitting here, the rock is here, I cannot look forward. So I look a little sidewise, and there I see it's going really down. So I looked beyond this and I saw a forest of birk trees. Do you know what are birk trees? They're these black and white, they have these stripes. Very beautiful trees. Birken, wie sagt man? Birch. Birch. Birch trees. They're these nice trees, with a white and sometimes a black thing. Birken, you say, and birch trees. And I looked, and I saw a scene which up to this moment I've never been able to forget. I saw a sadhu who was chanting japa. He was bearded, and he cried. I couldn't hear him crying because the sound of the Ganga was so loud that the sound of his crying was not there, but I saw tears coming, beautiful tears coming down his face. He was really moved in Krishna consciousness. He didn't cry because he didn't have enough mangdal for his dal soup. He really cried. You could see for God, whoever, I don't know if he was a Krishna bhakta or Ram bhakta. As I said, he was quite far away, and he was just really crying out to the Lord, chanting and then crying, and it looked so tender, so soft, you know, his heart. And I was just there in my storm shelter and looking and I was very fascinated. Then I felt a little shy because I felt I intruded into a devotee's personal relationship with his Lord, and I should not look, but I just couldn't help to look at him. And in my heart, it became very clear, I also want to come eventually on the state that while I chant Hare Krishna, tears of love will flow down my eyes. I very strongly desired that at that moment. I do remember this. And it entered into my heart and it has not gone. It's not a mental impression, in other words. And I hope for that moment where my heart will be pure enough, and so on. And I really felt that was the real blessing of doing this pilgrimage, was to see that one moment, this one second of the sadhu, because something was brought into my heart which was not before there. And this is really the power of sadhu sangha. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam that there are many sadhus still in the area of Vrindavan who go around, who roam about looking for Krishna. It's in the third canto. And it really has impressed my a significant portion of my spiritual life. I remember seeing Prabhupada in this situation a few times, but at that time I was still so immature that I was just feeling a little bit out of place maybe. I did not know where to put this ecstasy of Srila Prabhupada. It was just overwhelming. We asked him, Prabhupada, what should we do when you go into this ecstasy? And he said, like he would always say, just chant Hare Krishna. What else to say to the to a bunch of newcomers, you know. So, yes. This is really the power of blessing. It makes something possible which are not possible before. Now, at the end, I want to now ask you, I want to make a little pause now. It's 11:45, and we will only have a short break, if it's all right with you. I thought of 10 minutes. Or should we do up till 12? Maybe up till 12, huh? And then we will just go into the practical dimension. Maybe you can start to think about this. I will ask you a question. And when you answer the question, it's good if you review what you have heard. What do you think can you do with this seminar? And we will have one devotee who has a nice handwriting who will write down some of the ideas. I will tell you a little more secret. One more secret. Oh, Krishna, I almost forgot it. I took the most important thing. This is when people start dying next to you, then you forget things. Krishna gave me I need a piece of paper. To just write down a note.